Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Prayer is at 8:45. We're on the altar, each one of us seeking the Lord and crying out to Him for His guidance, His deliverance. On Wednesday, Bible study begins at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss Bible study. See, Bible study is and Sunday school are important because you get to ask questions. I hope you ask questions at your Bible study and at Sunday school so that you have clarity. The Bible tells us in all our getting to get understanding. And the ministers have a divine obligation to provide edification. So you ought to ask questions about what you read or what you're hearing. And so on Wednesdays, Bible study at 7 p.m. And we believe the Bible is the Word of God. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. And let me just read that again. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're faithful. And we're bold. Not bold in telling someone else what to do, but bringing ourselves into subjection. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. The best way to face any opposition, anything that you're dealing with, there's a solution for it in the Bible. Now, you can't change another person's mind. You can't make them do anything. They have to line up with the Word of God on their own. But you can wash your own face. You can be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Again, we want to thank you for joining the online service. If you're looking for a church home, growth, and ministry, we want to invite you to join us, grow with us, and be blessed with us. At this time, we're going to go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your kindness, for this opportunity that you've given us to share your word. Lord God, not only to share your word, but to apply it to our lives so that we live your word. Lord, you said heaven and earth will pass away, but your word is going to stand. Lord God, we want to be found in your will. It's the safest place. Bless us, Lord God, to be found doing your will here on earth as it is in heaven. We'll be careful to give your name the praise and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In the way of announcements, I want to remind you that we're coming to the end of April, and we're going to be entering into the month of May. And the countdown is on as we are looking forward to our SoCal Pentecost service. So I want to invite you to join in with us, to be part of that service. You know, it's going to be live presented as each of our services are. And I'm sure that you're going to be blessed. And we're going to be consecrating during that time from May 1st through the 30th. We're going to be consecrating, meaning no meat. For if it flies, if it swims, if it walks on all four, or if it's crawling on its belly, whatever, no meat. If you have to chase it down, catch it with a hook, a net, shoot it, spear it, whatever, it must be, the consecration is that we are eating from the ground. All right. Okay. And so that's going to be from May 1st through the consecration is May 1st through the 30th. And if the Lord say the same, then on next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the consecration and the blessedness of it, you know, because we'll be entering into the consecration the week after. And so I want you to be clear. I want you to understand what a consecration is, what it means, and what we're looking for. And God is going to bless. He's going to bless those that are consecrating with CLG. He's going to bless those that are following along and willingly, you know, those that there's you have an expectation that those that are in your presence, those that are members and stuff, that they're obedient and that they're going to be consecrating. But those that are listening and joining in and hearing about the consecration via the broadcast and everything and participate, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Your work and your sacrifice will not go unnoticed. So thank God for you. At this time, we're going to have opening scripture followed by a song.
Bless you, Lord Jesus.
How great is our God. Do you believe that he is great this morning? You know, sometimes our thoughts get deterred. We become distracted because of situations and things that come up, and we lose focus of how great God is. It doesn't mean that you don't feel what is happening. It doesn't mean that it's not a care. But when we lose focus of how great he is, then we don't talk to him about the situation. We don't pray about it. We don't fast about it. We don't pick up the word of God to see what he has to say. God will give you a scripture about your situation. And it's for that season that you're in. It's not a text that is going to be for every season that you enter into, but it will be for the season, the moment that you're in. And what you do with that when God does it is that you stay within that, within the context and the text in which God has provided for you in that instance, in that season. Because when another season comes around, it may be a different song. It may be a different praise. It may be a different scripture that deals with your season in that moment. Bless you, Lord Jesus. And so we're going to go on into the word of God. And I pray, I know you was blessed because he is a great God. He is great. And so we ought to treat him with greatness. That means our praise ought to be great. Our obedience ought to be great. You know, if someone says, hey, don't do that, and you know it's right to do, you do it anyway. And that's what I mean by being bold, because it's right to do what God wants you to do. In the book of Acts, the fifth chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read multiple verses here, but I'm going to start with verse 1. My prayer is that you are blessed. And ask the Lord, Lord, pray for, as you pray, Lord, bless Pastor Carl. All right. Bless him. Lord, he needs you, Lord. Yes, I do. I don't mind asking for prayer. And I don't ask everyone to pray for me and or to lay hands on me or anything like that, because everyone can't do that. Everyone can't co-sign. And whatever someone is co-signing, you want to make sure that they have credibility, not a name because of fame, but credibility because God knows them. And God certainly knows my name. He knows my name. Yes, he does. I have that assurance. I know that. And you want him to know your name too. Yes, he knew Cornelius' name. He knew Cornelius. The Bible said that Cornelius was faithful. He was devout. Are you devout this morning, gentlemen, ladies? And that his prayer went up as a memorial before the Lord. And God remembered him and sent a special blessing. And so Peter wind up going down to Cornelius' house. And you can read this in the 10th chapter of Acts on your time. Peter went down to Cornelius' house after being corrected a few times. And so he made his way down there in obedience. And as he preached the word of God, the Holy Ghost fell, as he ministered, as he talked about the Lord. Now, in him talking about the Lord, he might have been talking just like I'm talking right now, just a monotone, just calmly. And because of their hearts were open to receive the word of God, and the blessing that God had planned for them. They didn't know what to expect, but Cornelius went out and he invited all his friends and family and those that would hear him. Have you invited anybody to church? Have you invited anyone to your church? Have you insisted that they come, that they're going to be blessed? They insist that you go places. Come on, man, let's go over here, man. You're going to have fun, man. Come on, man. You know how it goes. Have you done the same? Cornelius did that. And the people that were there, the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on them and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And Peter heard what was going on because he also was a recipient of the Holy Ghost and a sudden movement of God, a sudden movement by the Lord on the day of Pentecost. And they all were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin and continued on with the Lord. And he went back and gave his report to the church of what God was doing. You know, we don't have preachers that I'm aware of. I only know what I do that go out from church to church and go and visiting ministry and encouraging the people and ministering the gift freely given, freely received ought to be freely given. And God has blessed some that have reached a pinnacle in the community and society where they could actually travel. Some even have private planes and different things. They can travel not just to other continents, but even locally around. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine if it was, and that we are in the Bible days and we're going to go on into the Word of God, but can you just imagine that if the pastors, those that are bishops and elders and evangelists, if they were going from place to place and allowing God to use them, how the churches would grow? How the kingdom of God would expand, you know, especially those that have the financial means where they can just up and go at will. If they were just going out, and the people that we read about in the Word of God didn't have the financial means as others do today. They didn't have a freedom that they had. They were running and hiding from the Roman government. And because of persecution, we're not under that umbrella like it was then. Can you just imagine, just think about that for a moment, what the world would be like? Well, there's a day where evangelism is going to come into play, but the church is not going to be here. Well, let's go on. And I just wanted to give you a little moment to get the Word of God. I'm looking forward to what God has in store in the next chapter. Listen, next chapter of my book, Pastor Carl Henderson. Each of you have your own book. Listen, in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse, it says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property." They sold a piece of property. They had some land. Instead of buying a new car or buying, you need transportation. That's a tool. If you have opportunity, buy some property. Or maybe team up with someone and buy a piece of property. But that's something that's different than having a vehicle or something that's degrading. Whereas land, you know, it goes through ups and downs, but eventually you wind up on top. They sold a piece of property with his wife's full knowledge. He kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Ghost and have kept for yourselves some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? What made you think to do that?" I think I'm just letting that marinate for a moment. What made you think of doing such a thing? I'm sure that there would be all kind of voices and excuses of that thing that they did. Well, I did it because he made me angry. I did it because she said something to hurt my feelings 10, 30 years ago. Why did you do such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Thank you, Jesus. And great fear seized all who heard what happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. You know, in the movies, when the criminals are disposing of a body, and sometime after they tortured them, they laid down some plastic and they wrapped them up, you know, duct taped it and carry them out and throw them in the hole that they've buried, and he's going to be buried in. These men came forward and they wrapped him up. They carried him out and they buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. I wonder what she was doing. 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what happened. She didn't know her husband had already been there. She didn't know the encounter that was made. She didn't know the question that had been asked to him, what made you do such a thing? Why are you, the money belonged to you? She didn't know anything about this. And Peter asked her, the elder asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? And she said, yes. Yes, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the spirit of the Lord? How could you? Why would you? All of us need to ask ourselves that this morning. How could I conspire against God? Why would I conspire against him? Why would I do such a thing? What's wrong with you? All of us should ask ourselves that. Talk to yourself. He said, listen, I want you to understand this. Don't want you to miss a syllable that's coming out of my mouth. The feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down. She didn't have a moment to say, I repent, forgive me. She dropped. There was nothing that could be done any further. She dropped. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. The thought this morning that I would like to share is that it is an inside job. It's an inside job. As you know, the term inside refers to something done by or with the help of another. This term, the inside job. And the person helping is within an organization. It could be within a group, community, even within your own home, and certainly among your peers. It usually involves a person considered close enough and willing to take a risk. Now, I would think if you're going to conspire to do something, using some common sense, you certainly wouldn't do it with a stranger. You know, foolish people do foolish things. That's why they're called fools. You know, if it doesn't make sense, then it's nonsense. All right. And so this is how people, they conspire to do something with a stranger only to find out it was an undercover agent. And so they're caught. The evidence is overwhelming against them that they were conspiring to do something. Listen, I'm not condoning a conspiracy plan to do wrong. I'm just saying if you're going to do something, you ought to use some sense. It don't mean that you're not going to get caught. Because the Bible said whatever's done in the dark will come to the light. Conspiracy. They're just as committed as you are to the deed. And so it goes into what is called an overt act. All you need is an overt act to be charged with conspiracy. As soon as you sit down and you make a plan with someone to do something wrong, and you take that initial step forward, you have just committed a crime. Whether it is a spiritual crime or it is a crime naturally, you've committed, you've gone into the overact. There, when it comes to committed, you're talking about someone that is just as committed, obligated to the deed as you are. And you want someone that's obligated, that's committed to whatever you're involved in, even when you're doing right. If I'm fighting, you ought to be fighting with me. I shouldn't look up and see you standing on the sideline or anything. You should be in the fight. If I'm working hard, you ought to be working hard too. Listen, saints, if your pastor is fighting, you ought to be fighting. If your pastor is working hard, you ought to be working hard too. If I'm going the distance, you ought to be going the distance. There's no room for question because you're all in. I hope you're all in. Are you all in this morning? Or just going through the motion? Some are just going through the motion. Some will leave the service and say that was a good message. Or maybe they won't say it. I don't know. But listen, are you all in? Are you going through the motion? Can God count on you? Are you his ride and die? Now, ride and die, you've heard that phrase that used as often as, but listen. That means that someone is extremely loyal. In relationship, you want someone that is extremely loyal and willing to support you and unconditionally love you as well, no matter the situation. And God's looking for the same thing because he unconditionally loves us. Yes. And so are you his ride and die? While the phrase ride and die were not coined or written in the scripture, it is emphasized in Matthew's, the 28th chapter and the 20th verse. The Bible said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. That you want someone that's with you always through the good, the bad, the ugly. You want someone that's with you always. And that's what a relationship is. A relationship is someone that sticks with you through thick and thin, for better or for worse, to death do you part. Once that has been violated, once it has been betrayed, it's hard to get the trust back. Listen, God has never done any of those things to any of us. But can we say that we've never done any of that to God? Today is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And so, therefore, we can go forward and overcome evil with good. And he said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. I'm with you when things are good. I'm with you when they're not so good. Jesus taught, preached, and demonstrated the power of the kingdom of heaven, the principle. The power of the kingdom of heaven is the principles that we live by. He instructed his disciples to pay close attention to the teaching, preaching, and demonstrations. The disciples, each one that was following him. When I say disciple, I'm not talking about the 12 apostles. I'm talking about all of those that was following him. We saw that there was 500 that was gathered together. And he told them to go to the upper room, go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise. And out of that 500, only 120 went. What was the other 380? Those disciples, he said, listen, he instructed them, pay close attention to the teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the word of God. Don't just nod your head. Don't just say amen. Don't jump around the church and do nothing. When I say do nothing, I'm not talking about working on auxiliary. I'm talking about living a sanctified life. I'm talking about overcoming evil with good. I'm talking about getting rid of the nasty attitudes, the things that are said, the backstabbing, and the different things that are said that are done after you leave the church. Mighty God, bless your Lord. Don't just nod your head and do nothing. You ought to be, I'm going to deal with the subject of the spirit of excellence, but not today. But you ought to look up what the spirit, what excellence means, and then put your name next to it and see if it applies. Are you operating in the spirit of excellence, or are you just going through the motion of doing things? Just going through the motion. See, excellence goes all the way from A to Z. It don't stop at C and say, look at me. Listen, don't nod your head. Don't say, man, don't jump around the church and then do nothing. He said, do whatsoever I have commanded you to do. Do it. Can you do it? Nike says, just do it. Can you do that? Don't just follow it because Nike said it, but God said it first. Do it. The Bible tells us in James, the first chapter, it said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Many are gathering together on this 21st day, 2024 of April, and they are going to hear the word, but they're not going to do anything with it. You're deceiving your own self. James said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. All you did was look in the mirror, saw that that hair was hanging out your nose, and you didn't pluck it. You looked in the mirror, saw that there was an eyebrow, and you didn't remove it. You looked in the mirror and saw that things was not right, and you did not wash your face. You didn't do anything but walked away as if everything was okay. For he beholded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. The word of God is a mirror. Do we look at the word of God and see where we are and who we are? Or do we just look at it and walk away and say, hey, you know, we make up our own scripture. We make up our own path. And then we tell God, you accept what I give you. The Bible said, listen to this phrase. Let every man be a lie, but God be the truth. We cannot look and hear the word of God and then not apply it to our lives and tell God to accept what we give him. I'm not going to accept what you give me in a relationship. I don't expect my daughters to give. Listen, that's why I want to meet him. Mm-hmm. I want to meet her. Yes, because I'm examining and I'm looking to see, and I'm going to ask questions to understand. Are you giving what needs to be given the way it needs to be given? Do you speak the love language that individual wants to hear? Do you speak the love language that God wants to hear? Oh, Holy Ghost, bless your Lord Jesus. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, freedom, and continue therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, you ought to not forget. If I ask what last Sunday message was, you ought to be able to tell me something about it. If your pastor asks you what was Bible class on last week, you ought to be able to tell them something about what was said. But a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed. You will be blessed. Now, when it comes down, this is a very intimate thing with me, that when it comes down to talking about being blessed and the word of God. And I know the scripture says, first seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things, because they were concerned about things, the tangible things. These things shall be added to you. There is something within the context that is not being taught among God's people. He says, this man shall be blessed, which means there is an application. There's an application that must be doing, because he said, doer of the work. Doer of the work. And this applies financially. This applies both naturally and spiritually. Now, doers one. Yeah, this one, I have an imaginary sign that says doers wanted. Doers are wanted this morning. Everyone wants a doer. When you look on Indeed, it's asking for someone that's able to do it. When you look on monsterjob.com, they ask for someone to do it. When you look on LinkedIn, they're asking for someone that can do it. So is God. God is looking for someone that can do it, that is willing to do it, willing to take the time, understand what needs to be done, and do it. You hear the word. You read your Bible. You're exposed to what's right. But what is your takeaway? If you hear the word and do it, you hear the word and don't do it. You only saw yourself. You saw a reflection of self and you walked away. But if you be a doer of the work, then there is a change that comes as time goes on. It is not an overnight work. There are some things that can happen overnight, but there it is a process that we deal with and go through. Just like you, as a sergeant, and I love this, and I thank God for what he told me. He said, you know what? We were talking about some history, and he said, you know, individual falls down off the bicycle or skateboard, and they break their arm, snap, it happened instantly. But then it took time to reset it and for it to heal. It was a process. But the healing can occur, and then you have to be careful not to ever do that thing again, or you will suffer the pain of it. It's an inside job. The Bible tells us in Acts, the 4th chapter, by the 32nd verse, it says, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the thing which he possessed was his own. They wasn't walking around talking about, this is mine. This is my car. This is my house. This is my dog. This is my cow. This is my cat. This is my goldfish. But they had things in common. They were content. They were happy. They understood their soul salvation. They understood how God had delivered them and brought them out, and the sacrifice that Christ had made. They was recipients of the blessing of God. And they thought about it. And so they had all things in common. They were helpers one to another. And with great power, that the Bible said, with great power gave the apostles witness, meaning that God backed them up. He backed up what they were saying. He demonstrated what they were doing through his spirit, through his anointing, through the work of the ministry. It was not a show, but it was God in action. And so they were witnessing and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. If they saw a brother that needed a coat, they would go, if someone had a coat, they would give it to them. Are you willing to do that? Don't wear your shoes down until they no more good, and then try to give it to somebody that the shoes have a hole in them, but you're going to try to hand them off to someone, talk about you being a blessing. No. Buy them some shoes. You see somebody that's in need, and you don't have to buy it and give it to them. Sometimes you need to just buy it and leave it with their name on it. so they know it's for them. No one else pick it up talking about, ooh, I got a blessing. No. Buy it. Leave it on their porch without them knowing it was you. Act like it never happened. And when they testify about it, you rejoice and give God the glory. Never letting on that it was you. Thank you, Lord. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land and houses sold them. This is how we purchased our first church. This is what we did. Those that had the ability, they had homes, they took out little loans against their homes and little money that they had to help put down the down payment. And then it was the obligation of the congregation to pay off the loan. And they did it in a record time. Instead of a 30-year loan, it became half the time and was paid off because of the work that was going on, because of the encouragement and the obedience to get out and to do something, to work for the house of God. Now that property is paid off. Bless you, Lord Jesus. And so they sold them, and they brought the price of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to his needs. So they brought in to help distribute to those that were in need. Are you bringing anything? Are you doing something to help those in the community? Or maybe you have a feeding program. God bless you. Maybe you have the shepherd's closet. God bless you. God bless you. Whatever you are doing within your ability to do, God bless you. The Bible said in Hosea, who by the apostle's name Barnabas, minister Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas had some property, and Barnabas sold what he had, and he did not keep any of it. He brought, listen, I sold this property, and the profit from me selling this here, it is $30,000 here. Well, Ananias and Sapphira heard about this. They knew what was going on. And so the Bible said that Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. They went out and mirrored what he did. Ananias' name means God has given. Sapphira's name means blue or beautiful. They believed in God. They heard the word of God. They saw the demonstration of the grace of God. And they owned some property, so they sold it too. But when they did it, they got together. I don't know if she called him over, hey, babe, or if he called her, hey, listen. But the Bible said with his wife's full knowledge. So they had a conversation, kept back part of the money that they brought. Ananias and his wife talked about the land and the price and how much money they sold it for. If you have ever sold a house or a car and walked away with a profit, it felt good. Nobody's condemning that. The money is yours. You deserve the fruit of your labor. The Bible is clear about that. Go to Ecclesiastes. You'll see it. But not just there. It's written throughout the scripture that you ought to have domain. You ought to enjoy the fruit of your labor. And that's a subject that we need to spend time with. And we need to teach our children about. And that is taking dominion and governing while you have time, what you can. No one should attempt to take advantage of your earnings by using scripture or any other trickery. How is it, and I can't stay here with this, my God, but how is it that someone tell you that give and you're going to be blessed, they're blowing up, book sales aren't always that great, they blowing up, and they got the seven-figure to 10-figure home, and you still struggling with what you have. They're telling you that, and we like to hear encouraging words. We love to hear encouraging words. I like to hear encouraging words. that you're going to be more blessed today than what you were yesterday. And a year from now, you're still in the same situation. Struggling. If I have reached a 10-figure mark, and I'm telling you that your giving is going to bless you, you should also be where I am. I know that's a big topic for today, but you ought to be there. I don't expect me to have the best pastors. Listen here, because the Bible said like people, like priests. The minister is not the only one to be blessed. The people of God are to be blessed as well, so that others will see God, the word of God. The word of God says, I will make you, if you are obedient, and I'm paraphrasing this, you could go back to Deuteronomy and read this for yourself, but if you're obedient, I will make you the head and not the tail. Others will ask, how did you arrive to where you are? And then you're going to tell them about the goodness of God and how you applied the word and how you are faithful in all areas of where it is applicable, which is every area of your life from head to toe. Mighty God, bless you, Lord Jesus. He said, the money is yours and you deserve it. No one should be using trickery, any type of debauchery, anything like that to get your finances, to prey upon the elderly, make them feel like, you know, listen here. I encourage you to trust God and support your ministry. You should support the ministry. That's something you should do. That's the will of God. Exodus 25, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. See, that's the will of God, of every man that giveth willingly with his heart. So we know those that don't give are not giving willingly. It's not in their heart to give. All right. Well, it won't be in God. Listen, because you can read that in Ephesians for yourself. And this is the offering that they will take: gold, silver, brass. We don't give gold, silver, and brass today. I don't know of anyone that has gold, silver, and brass. But listen. Whatever the church has need of, you ought to, especially the officers in the church, you ought to inquire. Chronicles 29:9. Then the people rejoiced that they had offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. The prophet David also rejoiced with great joy. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there may be no gathering when I come. Listen here. So that's the will of God. We're not staying right there, but just for you to be clear about that. This is how the church and churches are built and maintained. Do you participate like they did? The children of Israel, the church in the wilderness, Barnabas and others help carry the tangible responsibility of the church. Listen, it doesn't have to come out of your pocket. When Jesus needed some money for the taxes, when he was questioned, when he needed some money, he told Peter, he said, listen here, go get it from the fish's mouth. In other words, go put some bait on the hook, cast it out in the water, and the first fish that you catch and you will in the end, then open his mouth up and there's going to be some money there. Use your talent. Use what you know. COG has t-shirts and mugs. This is what we do, you know, and not only that, but today God is blessed. And we have sat down and built a software program to be displayed, which is going to be demonstrated to a potential company. Listen, Jesus, COG and others, it still requires human participation and intervention. Whether wrong or right, clean or unclean, holy or unholy, you better understand it's an inside job. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan have filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Ghost and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Listen, Satan filled, you allow, you open a door up. How do we open doors up for the enemy to fill your heart? You talk to the wrong people. You're talking to the people that you should not be talking to. You're getting advice from people. You're allowing your flesh to dictate to you. And so you feel a need. And so the enemy knows just how to play you like a bad record. What and when did you allow and how did you allow this inside job to occur? It was your land. It was your sale. And the profits of that sale belong to you. That's what he said. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? It was yours. And after it was sold, it was still yours. Wasn't the money at your disposal? It was yours. What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human, but to God. Why did you feel the need to lie about something instead of allowing truth to prevail? If you sold the land for $30,000 and that was your profit, your profit was $30,000, all right? You sold the land and your profit is $30,000. You could have said, I'm going to take $5,000 and I'm going to give it to the work of the ministry. That's all he had to do. Here's $5,000 for the work. And keep the other 25. That was it. But instead, he said, we sold the land for 5,000. Here, in other words, he's looking for to be glorified under the pretense of something that was not true. This would have not come into question if he had not lied. God was good with the dollar you give. The little bit you give, what you give, God is good with that, but not to do anything and to lie and say, I cannot, or here's all that I have when God knows. Do we lie to God in that way? Mighty God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear came upon everyone. Listen, there was no funeral succession or repast when he died. The eulogy that had been preached said that it was an inside job. Satan filled his heart. That service, unknown to his wife, Sapphira, that she didn't even know he had passed. 3 hours later, she come. Peter asked her, and she says the same thing. The same thought and substance that was found in Ananias was found in her too. What was inside of him was found inside of her. No matter who it comes from, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. As I speak this to your shame, that's 1 Corinthians 15, 33, 34. If it is applicable to you, then it's to your shame. But if you are not in unison with Satan or any of those that are his agenda, if you're not conspiring with anyone that is corrupt or evil or evil spirit, then God is glorified. Then you're good. You're good. Be good. Peter said unto her, how is it you've conspired? Why did you do this? And she dropped dead. Listen, it's an inside job. Lying starts inside. Theft starts within. Sexual immoralities starts within. Rebellion starts within. But it doesn't stop there, because truth starts within. Doing what is right starts within. Sanctification starts within. Ministry starts within. And let me clarify what I mean by that. If God has called you into ministry, it's going to begin at home. It's not going to start on the streets and with everybody. And all of a sudden you love everybody and you tell everybody that you love them, but you never tell your spouse that you love them. It starts at home. It begins with your children. It begins with your husband, with your wife. Love your wife first. Love your husband first. Love your family first. Then walk out the door and preach to others. But it begins at home. It's an inside job. The Bible said charity begins at home. Not over the pulpit. No, not at the podium. It starts at home. They are the witness of what God is doing in your life. If they can't testify that God is working with you, I'm not going to believe you. Why should I? They live with you. They see you every day. You have a commitment to, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. You have an intimate commitment because you have children. And if none of them have nothing good to say outside of, well, that's my dad. You know, wait a minute. They ought to see that God has delivered you, saved you, turned your life around. They ought to be able to testify. I don't know what happened. He left home and went to church and he came back a different person, a different man, a different woman. They, not because you quote a scripture either. It's because you live in a life that they can see is different. They know that you're not walking around with the stench on you that you used to carry. Mm-hmm. Things are different. It starts at home. The Apostle Paul understood this. Now I'm closing with this. The Apostle Paul understood that it's an inside job. And he gave this heart remedy to the church of Philippi. He said, be careful for nothing, but let everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Why? Because it's an inside job. Whatsoever things are honest. Listen, it's an inside job. I just need you to think about this. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Whatever they are. Whatever they are. Whatever is of a good report. I need you to, if there be any praise. He said, think on those things, because it's an inside job. You need to think about those things. It don't have to be bad things. Bible said, whatsoever man thinketh, so is he. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and grace. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us to exhort your word, Lord, and to Lord Jesus, and just pray and ask that you will bless each one that have heard your word and those that will be listening later to receive and to hold on to it, Lord God, to apply it to their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bless each one that have taken the time out of their schedule, Lord, to tune in to this service, Lord. Lord, remember Jessica, remember Lord God Potts and DJ Sam, Lord God, and others, Lord Jesus, that are tuning in and that will be listening to your word to apply it to their lives according to thy will. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want to remind you that the Pentecost service is coming up, and that is May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. We'll close out on June 1st. That's a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Listen, go to our website, connectingtruth.org, connectingtruth.org. And from there, you'll be able to see more about the service. God bless you. Continue to pray for us as we are praying for you. And note that it's an inside job. Whatever is on the inside is going to show on the outside. God bless you.